Do we want to have a break and finish off talking about 1923 in history?
We've got 8 minutes. Where is the history? John sent me many emails last night. So do you remember how far we got down the... Because I found this. There's a picture of a boat.
The picture of the ship, yes.
The Northern Steamship Company's newsletter. They have a newsletter. The Opouri. And that is not a big boat by modern standards, but that was the boat that... How long is that, John? 20 metres? Maybe less?
I can remember the tonnage. That's roughly 400 tonnes. So the ships, yeah, which were the Northern Steamship used, were all fairly small ships like that one. And they operated around the whole north coast of this country. And one of the services they operated was from Onehunga, on the edge of Auckland, down to Raglan, which usually ran every Monday and went back every Tuesday.
Okay, and it delivered, what, just like goods to the supermarket? Well, they didn't call it a supermarket, but...
Yeah, the general store in those days. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And did they take things from Raglan? Was there an export?
Yeah, well, they took things like flax and wool, so those were probably the main exports from Raglan, but they took anything that was going, say, anything that today travels by truck. In those days, used to travel on the Northern Steamship.
Sheep?
Yep.
Oats, swedes, and plums.
Yeah, in one of the history books, there's a discussion of how difficult it was to get sheep down the narrow jetty that used to go out into the middle of the channel from the end of James Street.
Just like some skillful sheepdog work,
yeah,
to get that happening. Yeah, because so that was the ramp that used to go from the end of James Street, and it went out how far? Because you had to find the deep water.
About a quarter of a kilometre, yeah. 250 metres, yeah.
That's long, yeah.
So there's still the Tortora poles at the James Street end of it, which you can still see at low tide. Well, just anything other than high tide. But
okay, are they just stumps in the water?
Yeah.
Or in the, depending on how far out the tide?
It shows how well Tortora survives in water, because it survived for, I think they were put in 1888. So
that is impressive, because we were just talking earlier about how much money has to be spent to keep the wharf going, because it's such a harsh environment, the marine environment, and yeah, that's impressive that there's anything left at all.
But the reason they built the current wharf was that that old one was falling apart and it kept needing repairs. So all of those Tortora stumps have survived. They were obviously, presumably, the metalwork and such like that held it together that was rusting.
That's amazing. It's not the order you expect it to happen in, but that is the marine environment. Okay, so we're just saying, don't forget, folks, everything used to come by little ships or large boats, steamers. And maybe there's talk of going back to that way. They keep referring to the Blue Highway. If our roads keep slipping, more and more goods might actually be delivered by boat. That's what they're doing up the East Coast. We're going to talk about the Tiuku Post Office, a telephone exchange.
This was the era when post office were expanding. 1980s was the period when most of them got closed down, including this one. This was the chief postmaster drove a peg in the ground through the office didn't open until 1927. So I'm not quite sure how they took 4 years to build such a small building. It's still there as the roast office serving coffee.
What did it do between the 80s when it was closed and when the roast office opened, which is just a few years ago?
It went through all sorts of uses. It was an art gallery at one stage. And
oh, yeah.
I can't remember what other uses it was used for, but yeah, it's now been a roast office for quite a while. But
yeah, it's successful because people like coffee. Okay, and I remember reading once that once it opened, a young woman got the job of running it. And I don't know how old she was, but she came out. It must have been felt like the middle of nowhere coming to Tiuku in those days, but that was what they did.
Yep. The new people who came into the area were usually connected with either the post office, the police, or the schools.
Right.
So those were the organisations that brought new people into the community.
Yeah. Maybe it felt lonely. I don't know. What else do you want to talk about from 19... What year is this again, John? 23?
A century ago, yes.
Oh, of course, yeah.
We're looking back at 1923. Of course, it was the era before even radio existed, and certainly no TV. So there were masses of social activities taking place. Yeah. So they had the bowling club, which agreed to admit ladies as members in 1923.
Ah, dear. Well, that's good. I mean, that's an advance.
It was quite a lot ahead of many other organisations.
Yeah. Well, that's Raglan's. Maybe if Raglan's been like this forever.
But there were also tennis clubs and hockey clubs and, of course, the Horticultural Society that seems to have existed forever.
That's still going?
Yes.
Is that Raglan's oldest organisation?
Probably, yes.
Yeah.
There was the Agriculture and Produce Winter Show, which is something which occasionally gets revived. The crop swap had a pumpkin display, but I think that's the closest we get to it.
The A&P shows, I vaguely remember those from when I was a kid.
Of course, there was the rugby football club, but not the soccer club.
Well, the soccer didn't start till the late 70s, and there were two kids' teams. And our former councillor and DJ, Clint Baddeley, was one of the parents who got that going, along with a bunch of others.
Okay. Do you know why soccer got revived or brought over here at that time?
Some people like to play it, but some mothers didn't like their kids getting munted in rugby. So I know that that was definitely talked about. There were some mums who really were quite not happy with the rugby at all, which was why the first uniform, they even went for a different colour uniform, this quite remarkable looking maroon and yellow concoction.
So it didn't show the blood too much if it was maroon.
Well, but you don't get blood with soccer so much. But they just wanted to be separate from the rugby. There was this really strong urge, apparently. But the uniform was not the Raglan colours, which are green and black. So eventually, at some point, it was changed because they're green and black now.
Okay.
Hi, Katie.
There are also quite a lot of other things like the equestrian sports and the carnival club. The carnival club kept going up until the 1950s because it would have been the oldest organisation because it well predated the Horticultural Society.
Right. So there was a carnival club. There was a gun club, Karagoi Gun Club.
Yep, euchre, which is a game that I don't know these days, but it was a very popular one card game in those days.
Euchre and 500 parties.
The 500, I think, is still around, but yeah. I don't know euchre. Of course, dances and balls and all the other things which happened.
Ping pong. There's still ping pong happening.
Yes, Raglan Orchestra, Raglan Town Band.
Yeah, there was a town orchestra, but also you've skipped a model yacht race, a garden fete, school picnics, a farewell to an editor of the Chronicle. Music was provided on the accordion, violin and piano. A Maori group from Whatawhata performed a concert in the Tamata Hall, though the lorry bringing them broke down and they started late.
Yep, it's interesting that lots of people did travel by lorry in those days, or truck as we call them these days.
On the back.
Rather than travelling in a bus or a car or anything like that.
And it says here the Hamilton Acclimatisation Society liberated more pheasants in the Raglan Waitatuna Tiuku area. What do they mean?
the acclimatisation societies were set up by the early colonists because they felt that they ought to help God's handiwork along by spreading it around the world.
Oh, no. So, they bought lots of animals that weren't native.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
And it's interesting looking at the list of all those things they did try and introduce, and the ones they did introduce have caused lots of problems, like possums. And
why did they bring possums? They're not even English.
Well, they're Australian, and they thought they'd be good for fair farming, which they were for a while. But then they started to realise how much damage they were doing.
The rabbits thing. You know, we're completely out of time, but I did read in Australia they took several attempts to get the rabbits going over there, which just seems remarkable.
It took two attempts to get the possums going here, but yeah.
Well done, everybody there. Fantastic effort. Commitment to the cause. Hey, John, we have reached the end of the show, so I think we'll stop there. Just a little bit of info there about the history from 100 years ago, 1923, and... John, anything else we need to add that people should be looking out for?
We'll try and sort out the elections and who were actually trying to vote for or who we might vote for.
Yes.
At the moment, I haven't a clue.
Yeah, mate, yeah, we'll see if we can find out more. That might require a little bit of work on our behalf.
And say we've got till 26th of June to sort that out. So.
Yeah. All right, John, thank you for coming. And our folks, John will be on the air at 6 o'clock tonight with more detail about council stuff. Yeah. All right, thanks for coming in. Okay, end of the show. And I'll see you again tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning.